Good morning, everybody. As Sally said, it's Luke 4, 1 to 13. So just find it if you want to, or let's get started. It's entitled, Jesus is Tested in the Wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was very hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. So the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to them, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, because it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands, so they will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's lovely to be with you all here again this morning on this beautiful day. I hope you're enjoying this lovely weather and a little bit more freedom that we've got. I've enjoyed coffee in several friends' gardens this week, which has been great. I hope you're getting out and seeing friends and family as well as time goes on. We're very thankful for it, and we'll never take it for granted again, I don't think. So back to our passage, an amazing passage, that one, that's just got so much relevance. I'm sure you remember last Sunday when Daphne was talking to us, and she spoke about the baptism of Jesus and the authority that he actually received to carry out his ministry. Jesus knew who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah. But how wonderful for Jesus to have that confirmation from his Father at the time of his baptism. Today we're going on from that story to look at the next thing that happened to Jesus before he began his ministry. We're going to be thinking, obviously, of the temptations and how his authority there is displayed over Satan. We usually read this passage during Lent, but it's actually relevant all the time for us. So what's happening here? Straight after Jesus' baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You know, I know this story very well, and I'm sure you do, and I've preached on it quite a few times. I felt I needed to look again, to delve further, to read different things, different commentaries. So that's exactly what I did. And one posed this question, which I liked. It said, how did the gospel writers know about this? Because Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness, was on his own. And I think when we think about this, it makes it a very sacred story, because Jesus himself must have told the disciples about it. So how else would they have known? It has an important message for them, and it's an important message for us too today. So why was he there? Why was Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days? That's a long time, isn't it? We only read of three temptations. So what was Jesus doing during these 40 days? Well, as I thought about this, I thought, well, I'm sure what he was doing was praying, talking to his Father, and contemplating what he was going to do, his campaign. What sort of ministry was he going to have? What methods would he use? And I think the temptations show us once and for all that the way he was going to win people for God was not through power and glory, but through suffering and the cross. Now, we've already said that Jesus knew who he was. He must have known that he had exceptional power and authority. I just love this little bit from the Tom Wright commentary on this. And I just want to read you just a few lines. It's worth reading a lot more of it, but I'll just read a few lines. It says, Jesus was not Superman. Many today, including some devout Christians, see him as a kind of Christian version of the movie character to be able to do whatever he wanted, to zap reality into any shape he liked. In the movies, Superman looks like an ordinary human being, but really he isn't. Underneath the disguise, he is all-powerful, a kind of computer-age super magician. This is not the picture we get of Jesus in the New Testament. And if you read the little bit between the two passages we've been talking about, last week's and this week's, St. Luke reminds us that Jesus belonged to a family, and that family descended right back to Adam. So if there's any doubt about his being human, Luke underlines his sharing of our flesh and blood in this vivid scene of what's going to happen next. Jesus was a human person. He was also divine, but with human feelings and human instinct. Yet he knew who he was. You know, these temptations would come only to a man who knew he could do them. It would be no good tempting us to turn stones into bread, would it? We would just think it was ridiculous and we wouldn't even try. Or to leap from the top of a temple. We wouldn't chance it. But Jesus really knew it was possible for him. So with these things in mind, let's look at these three temptations. It's interesting to notice how they begin, feeding doubt in. One of Satan's great ploys, feeding doubt. If you are the Son of God, prove it. After 40 days in the desert, it tells us Jesus was hungry. This is a bit of a flyaway statement, isn't it? Of course he was hungry after 40 days with no food. My husband always says that missing a meal is a bit of a struggle for him. The desert itself was a strange place, because sometimes we think of a desert as a nice sandy place. This wasn't. It was dusty. It was bare and there was jagged rocks all around. This is where he was, not a comfortable place. So the devil says to you, to him, if you say you are who you are, make these stones become bread. Take the easy way, have something to eat. Or just give people what they want, the material things they want. And then they'll follow you. If you give them what they want, bribe them. Of course, Jesus was not going to do that. And he answered, as he continued to answer, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. A quote from Deuteronomy. You know, in the church, we do want to help people. And at the moment, we do give food, don't we? We help with in various ways about giving people things that they do need, but not as a bribe. This is very different from the Jesus using the power for himself. He wouldn't want to do that, just to make life easier. It's all about others and what they really need. And then the second temptation. He was taken in his imagination to a mountain and shown all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it'll all be yours. This temptation isn't about bribery, it's about compromise. It's as if the devil is saying, I've got these people. Just don't set your standards quite so high. Just compromise a bit with evil and they'll follow you. Wow, no way. Jesus answers, as always, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. No compromise there. Again from Deuteronomy. The God we follow is pure and holy. And that's how he lives, and that's how Jesus will live, and how he wants us to live. And then the third temptation. Jesus sees himself on the pinnacle of the temple, where apparently there's a drop into the Kidron Valley of 450 feet. Again, we hear the words, "If you are the Son of God," this time the devil says, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Notice that the devil knows scripture too, because that's from Psalm 91, but he's using it to say what he wants it to say. Jesus answered, it says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, Deuteronomy. You know, Jesus saw that if he produced these fantastic sensations, he'd be a 9-day wonder. And then what? It wouldn't last. The way that Jesus chose was the way of service and of suffering. What strong temptations these are when faced with a cross. But Jesus knew his Father. And of course, the authority he used to overcome them was scripture, the word of God. How powerful that is. Do you know, when I was preparing this sermon, I got all my reading and preparation done. I just had to write it. And I chiseled myself some time because I had a busy week this week. And this was going to be my time to write the sermon. I'd got a long, long time and I could do it. I could put it all together. And guess what happened the night before? I didn't sleep. And if anybody knows me, they know I'm not a good sleeper anyway, but I was bad on that particular night. And in the middle of the night, I was praying and saying, "Oh, what's going on here, Lord?" And it was suddenly this little voice in my head was saying, "It's no good. You're too tired. You can't do it. You can't write the sermon. You're too tired. You'll make a mess of it." And after a while, I thought, this doesn't feel very comfortable lying here thinking that. And I just continued praying. And then suddenly some words came into my head that said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's from Philippians. And then some more words where St. Paul was struggling. And he said, when he was with God, "When I am weak," he said, "I am strong." I was able to have some sleep after that. And I did manage to get up, of course, and write my sermon. God's word is stronger than any temptation that can come our way. Do you get tempted to do wrong things that you know aren't of God, or to go the easy way, a bit of compromise? Unfortunately, I'm sure we all do. Let's have a silly illustration. What if you're on a diet, but you've had a really hard day and everything's wrong and you're tired and there's a chocolate bar sitting there and you love chocolate like me? Well, I think it doesn't matter that I'm on a diet. I'll just have it because it's going to make me feel better, probably for 5 minutes. A silly illustration, isn't it? But you can see how it's so easy to get caught up in the ways of the world and be tempted away from the straight path that Jesus wants us to be on. So how do we overcome that? In exactly the same way Jesus did, with him, with his word, with scripture. Do read your Bibles. I put down here, read it, read it, read it, because until we read our scripture regularly and over again, it doesn't get in here. And when the time comes, you need that scripture in there to be able to respond and know how to react and overcome in every situation. And even in good situations, you still need to know how to react. Because if we're into this word, we're living God's way. We won't get it perfectly, of course. We never do. Thankfully, we have a God full of mercy and grace. When Jesus was about to leave his disciples, we know what he said. We must hear this so many times. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." we can use the authority of Jesus in Scripture to overcome. And we need to remember that and keep that in the forefront of our minds. We were talking about the temptations in our house group not very long ago. And where we started this study was with Adam and Eve. And they were tempted, weren't they? But they gave in and sin entered the world. Compare that with Jesus. Jesus was tempted, but he stood firm. And from this point, he went out to teach and preach and to show us what our God is really like. But notice the final verse of this passage. I'll just read it. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus stood up to the devil many, many times during his ministry. It wasn't a one-off and then everything was fine. These temptations will have continued. But he, Jesus, continued to do his Father's will and took the way of suffering on the cross. Or he must have been tempted many times to give in, but he didn't. He suffered, he died, he rose again, defeating all sin and evil. And you know, the reason he did this is because he loves us. He didn't want the devil to be hold of us and leading our lives. He wants us to know him, to know his Father, be filled with his Spirit, and to walk his way, to know him, to experience life in all its fullness, to live in love and peace with him every single day of our lives. So when we get tempted, remember Jesus' temptations and how he was able to stand firm on the word of God and go God's way, which is by far the best.